have a seat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sean McShell. I'm the pastor of House Church Ministries here at Nicholasville United Methodist Church. One of the wonderful and unique things about this particular congregation, Jim mentioned some earlier, one of the other ones, is the amount of folks that come through these doors and then are sent out to serve elsewhere. I'm holding in my hand this morning a cup from Shalimar United Methodist Church in Shalimar, Florida, which is where some folks, Jonathan and Liz Hart, were in our community for a number of years. They're now serving as an associate pastor there. Right at this moment, Patty and Ellis Walker are in Ames, Iowa, visiting some folks who used to be part of this community and are now serving in Ames, Iowa. We didn't anticipate this when we came. Tammy and I planned on coming here and then going back to Minnesota, being one of those people, and God called us to stay here. There's people that we know now serving in Florida, in Alabama, in Texas, in Missouri, in Arkansas, in India. We know folks that are now preparing to go to Brazil. We know some folks that are going to be serving in Indiana. And now we know some folks that are going to be serving in Brazil, Indiana. And so I'd like to invite Isaac and Sarah Hopper and family to come up here and join us. Isaac is going to be serving as pastor of Union United Methodist Church in Brazil, Indiana. They've been part of our community for a number of years.
Almost six years.
Have been a tremendous blessing to a lot of folks. Have taught classes, have led committee teams, have done so many things. And we wanted to just say goodbye to them this morning. Isaac wanted to share a few words, and I've actually asked him to lead us in our pastoral prayer this morning.
I'll keep this brief. I want to echo what Dr. Stratton and what Sean has said this morning. This is a unique church. You guys have been such an incredible part of our lives these last 6 years. You've invested in us. You've invested in our children. And through that, we've not only come to know your love, but the love of God more fully. And so we just wanted to quickly say thank you. Thank you for being present with us. Thank you for helping us raise our children to know and love Jesus. That is the most important job that any of us have as parents. And we're so insufficient at that on our own. And we need a community of believers like this so that we can raise them to be who they are in Christ. So thank you for that. And as we go off this week, we're going to miss all of you. Some of you we know very well. Some of you we're just beginning to know. But we know that God is doing great things here. And we'll be praying for you as we move on to other things. So would you please join me in prayer? Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, it is truly good to be in your house this morning. Mm-hmm. Father, as we sing these hymns of praise to your name, we don't have to conjure up visions of what your glory looks like. We don't have to invent ways to think about your goodness and your love because we feel it every day in our midst.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we are so grateful to have been called as your people in your name. So God, this morning, we invite you into this space. We ask that you would be with those who have brought burdens with them. Father, would you make us ministers to one another? God, would you send your Holy Spirit to minister among us? Heavenly Father, as Dr. Stratton brings your word to your people this morning, would it give you glory? Would it call us to follow more closely in the way of the cross? And God, through your people gathered, would you reach out to those who are so desperately in need of you? Father, we love you. We give you all praise this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
One of the great things that we see every time we have communion is the Hopper kids grabbing handfuls of Jesus as they come take communion. They can't get enough of Jesus, and that's wonderful. Before you leave, one of the traditions throughout the history of the church
is to lay hands on those who we're sending out. We're not saying goodbye. We are sending them out to serve. Plus, we have a place to stay in Brazil, Indiana. So I would like to invite anybody else here this morning who it's their last Sunday with us, if there's any other seminary students that are leaving that we have not had the opportunity to go, and Pastor Jim, I'd like to invite you up as well. But I'd like to invite everybody up then to come and lay hands on these folks. So come as you feel led. If you can't get close enough to physically touch one of our friends this morning, lay hands on each other, just surrounding them in a community of love. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we are thankful beyond words for your love and your mercy and your grace that has so transformed our lives. And we thank you for the lives of Isaac, Sarah, Jana, and Simon. We thank you for Jim and Colleen. Thank you for their faithfulness, for their willingness to be shaped by you, for their willingness to follow how you have called them in their life. Lord, take this the time that has shaped them here, and bless others wherever they may go, particularly in Brazil, Indiana, and the entire state of Indiana. We pray for Jim and Colleen as they have so faithfully served us here. Lord, that you would continue to grant them mercy and grace. And as they are maybe remaining with us here, Lord, continue to work through them. Lord, draw us all closer to you. May your Holy Spirit continue to shape our heart so that when we are encountering a lonely, broken world, that they would see the love and grace that you are, that we may be a light in darkness. Lord, we send out the hoppers in the name and in the love of Jesus. Be with them, protect them, lead them, guide them, sharpen them, encourage them, and remind them that they always have a home. Here. We thank you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
We are seriously lacking tissues this morning. Be sure to greet them today before you leave. Give them a hug and wish them well.
I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward and take up our offering this morning. As we sing this next song, Sean pointed out something kind of interesting this morning as we were warming up that reminded me of what Pastor Jim said last week about singing with audacity. The hymn writer, obviously, of this song felt it vitally important that each of these phrases was an exclamation. And we were just noting that there were exclamation points at the end of these phrases. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. The song can sound like maybe it's meant to be a slow, reflective song. But I would invite instead that we sing it with some audacity. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.
Scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's another group that you have in this congregation that is very, very special. You're retired ministers. I think there are about 10 of them, maybe 11 now. I have truly enjoyed them. I've been able to be with them on their three or four times on Tuesday mornings. And this last Tuesday was one of the richest moments I've experienced. I haven't been more excited in a camp meeting than I was as they shared how they came to Christ and how they came into the ministry. It was rich indeed. And it's a treasure that you have within this congregation. And they're just great folk. As the concluding sermon of my series, I felt it important to come to this particular theme. You've been very gracious in your comments, and I appreciate them. And we, Colleen and I, have been blessed through worshiping with you. But I want to share with you on that theme that's been announced, followers of the way. It's interesting to me that in the early chapters of Acts, that's what the disciples were called, followers of the way. That was years before they were ever called Christian. Even Jesus said, I am the way. And Dennis Kinlaw reminds us that we often invite people to receive Jesus into their hearts. And we should. And when we do that, it is because of our sinfulness and our lostness. But Jesus' invitation was different. His invitation was, follow me. Receiving Jesus leaves us at the center of concentration. Following Jesus puts the emphasis where it's supposed to be, on Him. And so as we move to the upper room this morning, I want us to see something of the way being lived out. And one of the most startling lines that I've ever read was when John wrote about Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. That's intoxicating. Power. We love power. We love to watch it. We love to exert it. We love to use it. Power. And here is Jesus being given all things into His hands. All things into His hands. One of His disciples has just left to betray Him. The religious leaders are scheming how to kill Him. The soldiers are being rousted out of their barracks to go find Him and arrest Him. And what are the disciples doing? They're huddled together trying to decide which one ought to have the top position in the supposed kingdom that they think Jesus is going to set up. All things in His hands? That's not like we don't like to see power like that, do we? We want to see the clenched fist. All things in His hands. And then Jesus goes out into the dark. And He says to His disciples as they make their way to Gethsemane, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." All things in His hands. Please watch and pray. And they go to sleep. All things in His hands. And lying on the ground, clawing at the earth, praying until he sweat great drops of blood, fighting against evil from without and the human passions from within. All things in His hands. Doesn't look like it, does it? And then the soldiers came. They tied His hands. All things in those fettered hands. And I say, Jesus, I want to see awesome power. I want to see You speak to those ropes and make them vanish. Lift Your hands high and free. Boy, that would startle them. Melt those swords into glistening pools at the feet of the soldiers. Man, that would shake them up. And then I hear the words of Jesus. You can't save others and save yourself at the same time. I hear Jesus saying, those who seek to save their life will lose it. And here is Jesus with all authority, surrendering Himself, not to the crowd, but to the Father, in love for others. Because if Jesus had saved Himself, He couldn't have saved you. He couldn't have saved me. Is that a principle of the kingdom? Is that the character of the kingdom? Is that the character that we see in the kingdom of God? Is that how it's made up? Losing oneself for the sake of others? Losing oneself to lift others up? Yes. That's the character of the kingdom. And about Jesus, it is said, who thought his equality with God not to be something to hung on to, clung to, but emptied himself and became a servant, even to the point of death. All things in his hands. Losing himself for us. Character of the kingdom. And we find this self-denial, this self-surrender in Jesus, even with all power in his hands. But a bigger question is, do we find that in God himself? Because when I think of God, I think of Sinai. I think of thunder and lightning and power. Is God self-denying, self-surrendering? Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He said, "I can do nothing on my own. I only do what I see the Father doing." Is God the kind of God who loves and is still willing to risk being betrayed, rejected, misunderstood, misused, maligned, and keep on loving, keep on giving? That's ultimate self-denial. That's ultimate surrender out of love for you and me. But is this just something that's imposed from heaven? Or is it something that is exposed from life? Take a seed and drop it into the ground. And that seed will surrender its outer shell so that the inner life can grow and become a delicious fruit or a luxurious flower. Self-surrender is in nature. What about the body? An infection gets into the bloodstream. Those white corpuscles begin to go on alert. They move to it. They throw themselves with abandon, even unto death, on the infection in order to save the body. Self-surrender even in our human body. Is the universe made up of this? Is this the way it works? Is this the path to abundant living? Isn't this the way relationships work? If we want relationships to work in the family, don't we have to surrender ourselves to each other for the other's highest good? Isn't that the way marriages work? Isn't that the way churches work? When they work well, looking out for the other person's highest good, not seeking one's own way. All things in our hands. How do we use the power we've got to build up others? Morton Kelsey was an Episcopalian priest, very respected and renowned pastor and teacher at Notre Dame. He was estranged from his daughter. His daughter's reaction to living in the pastor's home was that the worst thing that could happen to a teenager was to be a pastor's daughter. That's how strained the relationship had become. And one of his friends said, "Morton, you got to get on a plane and go out to Phoenix and meet your daughter on her turf and talk." He got on the plane, and while he was flying out, he realized he was flying over a city where his brother lives. And that relationship was strained. And while he was flying there, he began to remember St. Francis, that we should not seek to be consoled as to console. Seek to be loved as to love. Seek to be understood as to understand. And he said, "I've been living my life wanting to be understood, wanting to be loved." And he was losing it. He had a good time with his daughter, began to heal the relationship because he was learning to love instead of just wanting her to love him as he wanted to be loved. And his other relationships began to heal. Is this the way to abundant life? Yes. Being willing to sacrifice our desires if it lifts up other people. Being willing as a church to sacrifice itself for the sake of the world that's out there. That's the way it works. But let me take another tack here for a moment. It's interesting to me that after Jesus' hands had been tied, they released a revolutionary and a murderer by the name of Barabbas. Because at Passover, Pilate would release one prisoner. Isn't it ironic that the tying of the hands of Jesus freed a revolutionary? When we refuse self-surrender and self-denial, when we refuse and tie the hands of Jesus in our lives, does that release the dark side of our lives? Yes. What happens when we refuse to surrender ourselves? What happens when we refuse self-denial? We begin to create fear, because then we've got to be in control. We've got to control the situation. Then we begin to get aggressive because we have to force other people into our way of thinking. Manipulation. We use people for our ends. Anger. We use the temper as a means of controlling other people because we have refused to surrender. Then we have to be in control. And all things in our hands are disastrous. But on the cross, we hear the prayer of Jesus. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Was that a momentary thing? Or was that a life principle for him? "Father, into your hands I surrender my spirit." Is that the secret? The secret of an ultimate surrender and continuous surrenderings. When somebody hurts your feelings and you want to get back at them, Father, into your hands I surrender my spirit. When the challenge is too big for you and you don't think you've got the resources for it, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit to do your will. On and on. In those moments when we don't have control anymore, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Is that the secret? I think it is. I think it's that ultimate surrender, and then it is that daily continuous surrender. When those circumstances come up and we are tempted to press ourselves forward, and we're able to say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, and self-denial for the sake of others. Was that just a temporary thing for Jesus? Did he just come play acting with us in self-denial? Go with me to the book of Revelation. There's worship in heaven. There's this wonderful worship going on, and then there comes out a scroll that is sealed. And they ask, who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll for the fulfilling of the history of the world? And nobody was worthy. And John began to weep. And the angel said, don't weep, John. There is one who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll and fulfill the history for God's kingdom. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John said, I turned to see the Lion. And what did he see? He saw a lamb with the marks of crucifixion on him. The only one who was able to break the seals and open the future of history was one of self-denial, self-surrender, gave himself even unto death. And now he's the one who's able to unfold history. All things in his hands. Because he surrendered not to the power that was in his hands, but he surrendered to the Father to use the power in self-denial. Because that's the toughest job we have. There was a man one time having lunch with him, with a pastor that he revered greatly. And as the server came, she dropped a bowl of soup on this pastor. And the man watched in horror. He wanted to do something quickly. And the pastor looked up at the server and in a very loving way spoke to her, embraced her, took the sting out of the moment for her in self-surrender. And that fellow said, man, I want to do that. I want to be that kind of person. Lord, where's my bowl of soup? He said, I looked for somebody to spill soup on me for a long time so I could respond with love and kindness like he had. Nobody ever spilled soup on him. One day he was at the breakfast table with his family and his children were acting up and they were having a pretty bad time of it. And he was wanting to respond with anger and God said, there's your soup. He ran into a situation that was difficult and painful for him and he wanted to react. And God says, there's your soup. Where's your soup? It won't come the way you expect it because you're ready for it and you're ready to be self-denying. It won't come the way you expect it. We're followers of the way. Jesus showed us the way. He says, follow me. And I'll be with you to the end. Pray with me, please. Father, we can't get over your self-denial. Sometimes we complain about life, but we can never understand how deeply you hurt and how fully you have surrendered yourself to absorb the pain that we create for you. And yet you keep on loving us. Keep on coming back. Coming back with no grudges, holding no grudges. And so now, I pray for these, your people. I pray for your grace upon their lives, but I pray for that ultimate surrender in these moments. I pray that we'll be able to, in this moment, say, ultimately, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And give me grace every day to reaffirm it in those situations that I want to take into my hands and control. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. And may your blessing rest upon us that we may be true followers of the way. In Christ's name, amen.